Session number 11736, Stephen Pete, Reel 10.
Reel 10.
Side 10. I'm only pulling your leg. There was an American film with some of the members of the Lincoln Battalion who'd been in Spain. And very moving film, and at the end it said, "We wish to thank so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so for entrusting us with their stories." And that's exactly what we were doing with yesterday's witness. I wish I'd thought of the phrase to use on our own credit titles. That the business of me interrupting and saying this is side 10, not whatever it was.
Pro-talking.
No, it was... Well, no. It reminds me of an old lady we filmed for the programme in America, you know, in Cripple Creek, in a gold mining... one-time gold mining town, about her memories of the gold rush in Cripple Creek, Colorado. Marvellous talker, and we filmed a lot. And each 10 minutes started with the... clapperboard, you know, which goes in front with the number of the slate number and the thing going clap like this. And we came to slate 91 and the camera assistant, not with her, I mean with the whole film, we didn't do all that much with her, and the camera assistant came in front of her face and said, "Mrs. So-and-so, slate 91. And she said, "Oh, no, this is 92, the last one was 91. And she not only was telling all these stories, she was organising us as a unit. We were getting on very well with her, you see. And it, like other kind of good relationships like that, it showed in the final result.
Have you ever made a specifically anti-war documentary or film?
Specifically?
Have you ever gone out to do that? You know?
No, but it's those attitudes have come into quite a number of films because even when it isn't necessary... I'll start again. Yeah, those attitudes have come into quite a number of films I've made in part or the complete film because... Apart from anything else, I think the strongest films have an attitude. There's no such thing as impartiality. That's a lot of bunk. And so that the mere fact that from time to time I've chosen a story which has reflected my own ideas, that has happened. I'm just trying to think quick. One which I made for the Save the Children Fund in Korea. About 30-something years ago, 1958, about condition of specifically children refugees after the Korean War.
Is that the day the sun blew it?
No. Blew up. It's called...
Oh, that's the new film.
Yeah, it's called A Far Cry. It's a film. It's the first film I made in that style. And I was so angry about various things I saw there. Such as there were all they had then in 1958 the fourth largest army in the world, and all the money was going into this army, and there was no family pay for dependents of the army. That had a big attack, an especially constructed scene of a little girl with a sick baby brother whose father was in the army, watching a party of army marching past. Over which these facts were given, and various other films. And The Day the Sun Blowed Up, which is about, was a yesterday's witness, about the memories of making and exploding the first atom bomb in New Mexico in 1945, 3 weeks before dropping another sort on Hiroshima. Was straight stories by some of the scientists, some of the local inhabitants, of the area, some of the military police guarding the area and not knowing what they were guarding and so forth. Quite a lot of it, quite good-humoured anecdotes of memories of unimportant small things like the explosive expert Kistiakovsky betting Oppenheimer. This is remembered by Kistiakovsky himself, betting Oppenheimer. I think it was $10 that his part of the bomb would work, and then immediately after the test explosion asking for his money back, and Oppenheimer finding he hadn't got any in his pocket. I mean, so that the enormity of it all felt even more great enormity against this background of these light-hearted anecdotes. That upset a lot of people, but it was what I found. And these people, it upset me going to Los Alamos and finding it full of such likable people with such interesting stories that that's what I've put in the film. This I don't think can be... Yes, it can be called an anti-war film, approaching them quite a different way. It just lets them speak. I think that's what I've done in many cases, of let pictures tell their own story. But there's a strong story that I'm hoping will come across.
Going back into your war experience, you were saying at one time you inquired about serving in the war in the film unit. Mm. Do you think you could have made a contribution there, you know, in sort of showing the war, the reality of war? I'm thinking of things like the vast amount of censorship and the propaganda machinery in the war. You know, when you look back to the time when you made that approach, were you really hoping to make a contribution, showing the reality of war?
No, I was anxious to get my hands on a camera again, I think, be a more honest answer. I don't think I was thinking I could subvert from within or anything like that, if that's what you're thinking. I didn't think it out very clearly. It was a move from a position of disgruntlement, temporary disgruntlement of conditions, I think.
Coming now to the present, are you still a pacifist? Do you still consider?
I think so.
Mm. That was a long think.
No, because I think it can only be measured in terms of being faced with a certain problem or a bit of behaviour and finding out what you do. How can I imagine it? In the present situation of what's going on, it's strange, isn't it, that we point towards a television set being the bringer of bad news, or whatever, or good news. But what is going on in the Gulf that I strongly hope that they won't revert, I think is maybe the right word, to war to solve it very strongly from the point of view of human life. However, there are small undertones and worries of Munich Agreement. And was that the right thing to do at that time with hindsight? Will solving the present business with negotiation with hindsight have been the right thing and so forth? But certainly I find it quite abhorrent to think that all those people are lined up there now and plans are being made, probably, to try and find some excuse to go to war. This is what I find horrible. Therefore, now thinking it out all through, any headline I read or hear or see, any news that points towards negotiation and a non-fighting settlement, I'm happy to see, and anything else that points the other way, I'm horrified to see. So there's an answer. But I'm sure that is probably the answer of most military people too, who are not bloodthirsty hypocrites, most of them. Most of them are sane people who think they're doing the right thing. And maybe, that's this is my little worry, maybe they are doing the right thing in this case.
Stephen, thank you very much indeed for telling me about your fascinating experiences and very interesting reflections. Thank you.